From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. By a vote of 16-7, a key Senate panel has approved the nomination of Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke for a second term, NPR's Audie Cornish reports.
Senate Banking Committee Chair Chris Dodd supported Bernanke's nomination, saying that the actions of the Fed chair last year helped avert an economic catastrophe.
I believe that Ben Bernanke deserves substantial credit as chairman of the Federal Reserve for helping us navigate those waters, certainly without, not with perfection, but certainly, I think, stepping up at a critical time in our nation's history with some very wise leadership that benefited our nation.
But those who voted against Bernanke's reappointment argue that the Federal Reserve chairman had not done enough to protect consumers from predatory mortgages and criticized his role in making bailout loans to failing financial firms. The nomination goes next to the full Senate for debate on confirmation. The chairman's term expires at the end of next month. Audie Cornish, NPR News, The Capitol.
The sides in the ongoing debate over the Obama administration's health care overhaul bill are increasingly digging in as time ticks down. Nebraska Senator Ben Nelson, the moderate Democrat whose opposition is currently holding up the bill, says new language on abortion doesn't satisfy him. Nelson told a radio audience today the current compromise does not address the fundamental issue barring federal funding for abortions. Meanwhile, recent comments about the bill from former Democratic Party Chairman Howard Dean were criticized by the White House. Dean has termed the current bill a victory for insurance companies and said it should be scrapped. Advisor David Axelrod says Dean's comments are based on erroneous conclusions. United Nations climate talks resume today with a new negotiating strategy as world leaders arrive in the Danish capital. NPR's Richard Harris reports from Copenhagen.
The talks have been moving fitfully because diplomats couldn't even agree about what documents to use as the basis of negotiation. That's apparently been resolved. The two official documents are so full of many areas of dispute, meeting organizers hope to distill them down to one simpler text and then hand that off to high-level diplomats who arrived in Copenhagen earlier in the week. But many countries objected to that approach. They're worried that a deal cut behind closed doors wouldn't represent everyone's interests. As a compromise, the conference president said he would ask ministers to use the official texts as a basis of negotiations. They have a very short deadline to make sense of the documents and to reach agreement. More than 100 heads of state hope to sign an agreement tomorrow. Richard Harris, NPR News, Copenhagen.
Number of people filing first-time jobless claims posted an unexpected rise last week. The Labor Department says the number of recently laid-off individuals seeking unemployment benefits rose by 7,000 to 480,000. The four-week moving average, which smooths out some of the volatility in the labor market, fell slightly. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 132 points to end the session at 10,308. That was a drop of more than 1.25%. The Nasdaq lost 26 points. This is NPR. The top U.S. military commander in Afghanistan, meeting with the heads of government who've been opposing the Taliban, says corruption within the government continues to cripple the country. Admiral Mike Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, told tribal leaders results in terms of dealing with corruption are needed now. Mullen also said the U.S. wants to turn over security operations to Afghan forces as quickly as possible, while at the same time ensuring that Kandahar, the Taliban's former regional capital, does not fall back into insurgent control. 4 days after being physically attacked at a rally, Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi left the hospital today with his face bandaged. NPR's Sylvia Pedroli reports from Rome.
Surrounded by a cordon of police and bodyguards, Berlusconi waved weakly to reporters and photographers as he left the hospital by car. His nose, upper lip, and left cheek were covered by bandages, and his expression was grim. On Sunday, a mentally disturbed man hurled a souvenir statuette at the prime minister, breaking his nose, knocking out two teeth, and causing severe pain. Berlusconi has been ordered to take 2 weeks of rest before returning to work. Media reports suggest he may now go to a clinic in Switzerland where he has previously undergone plastic surgery. Berlusconi and his aides have blamed the attack on a climate of hatred they say is fomented by the independent media and opposition parties. The cabinet is now preparing legislation to crack down on anti-Berlusconi websites and tighten security at public gatherings. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
Mortgage rates rose slightly this week. Mortgage finance company Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage loan was at 4.94%, up from 4.18% last week. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.